This is Pro Football Blitz with former Super Contest winners Brady Cannon and James Salinas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome in. It is the Pro Football Blitz. I am Brady Cannon, live with Scott Seidenberg at the fabulous Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. James Salinas, we put him on injured reserve today. Scott is filling in for Mr. Salinas as we get ready to take you through the next 3 hours of the breakdown of the NFL card, week three of NFL 2021. And welcome to the Pro Football Blitz, Scott. Thank you for filling in for
James today.
Yeah, it's an NFL-heavy show here, and we love that, of course, contest season and NFL season in Las Vegas. So let's get into not only the games, but I do want to talk some contests. You're new to Las Vegas, not only new to this program, but new to Las Vegas. Welcome to town. And, of course, Las Vegas is famous for all kinds of football contests. Did you get involved in some of them this year?
I did. I'm in Circa Millions. Not in Circa Survivor, but I did Millions. So far through 2 weeks, I'm like middle of the pack. I'm not 10-0. I'm not 0-10. So I feel pretty good about that. We're you know, right down the middle, 5-5. So we'll see what happens with the next couple of games, and hopefully tomorrow's a better day.
Well, I am 5-5 in Circa Millions as well, and I think that's a little bit ahead of the curve, above average. I think the majority of the people are probably under 500 there, but my team in the Westgate Super Contest, Sans Souci, we're off to a 7-3 start,
nice.
So feeling pretty good about that. And they have a very unique thing over there. They have, like, of course, Circa really introduced the idea of the quarterly prizes.
Yes.
The Westgate this year has a contest every 3 weeks. Mm. And so they do that 6 times throughout the season, and then every 6 weeks, which they do. So every 3 weeks, you've got action in the Westgate Super Contest. And thanks to Derek and the boys here at Circa for really creating that idea of the quarterly prizes.
5-0 week for you, and you're live.
I got my fingers crossed. So we will get into that, all the contest strategy, our contest plays throughout the program here. But let's dive right in, man. It is the Pro Football Blitz, and we've got 3 hours to dissect these games. So let's begin with the early games, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, and it'll kick off in the Motor City with the Detroit Lions hosting the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore coming off of that thrilling victory on Sunday night over the Chiefs. The Detroit Lions are coming off of a loss to the Packers on Monday night. And Scott, I made this line 6.5 in favor of Baltimore. It opened at 9. Now it has since come down, 8.5, 8. And I've even seen some 7s in the market. Your total currently at 50.
I'm confident that the Ravens blow them out, to be honest with you. I think this is the type of game that John Harbaugh is he excels in these type of atmospheres. Remember last season they had a tough win against Cleveland. And the following week, they go to Washington. They win 40-14. So he's not a letdown candidate coach. He puts his pedal to the metal. He doesn't, it's not about running up the score, but he doesn't slow up his offense. So if they're winning by a touchdown late in the game, it's not like he's going to put his team into cruise control. They always try and get into the end zone. And I think this is a game that's a double-digit win for the Baltimore Ravens. This has that type of feel. Like I mentioned, similar to last season when they came off a big win against Cleveland and blew out Washington. They come off a big win, obviously, last week against the Chiefs, and they're going to blow out Detroit here on the road.
This is one of those situations, and we've had a lot of them this season with all the underdogs winning outright, and that is when a team wins outright as an underdog, and then they go into the next week in the role of the favorite, and specifically in this case, as a road favorite for the Baltimore Ravens. That is usually a scary situation for that road favorite, and I think the reasoning behind it is because they kind of pull off, they shock the world, so to speak, winning outright as an underdog, and maybe that line in that game going into the next week is a little inflated, more so than it should be. So I can understand some people backing the Lions here. I don't think this game has really seen a great deal of action. There has been some speculation about Lamar Jackson's health. I don't think it's a real big deal, but I think you can make a case for both sides here. I probably would not play the Lions at less than 8. And to your point here about the Baltimore Ravens, I think with that running game, they can eventually, if they get a lead, they can just wear down this team in the second half.
Yeah, and I'm not afraid of the road. Not normally road favorites. This is a dangerous spot. But our very own Dave Tooley tweeted out earlier this week that as we know that underdogs are doing well this year. However, road teams this year are doing well, 19-13 against the spread. So home field advantage doesn't mean as much as it used to. Obviously, you're seeing the trends this season hitting at nearly 60% road teams.
Yeah, absolutely. The home field advantage seems to have been minimized. And of course, there was no home field advantage last year with no fans in the stands. And it just really doesn't seem to have rebounded a whole lot this season. If you look at the Lions, of course, Okuda out in that defensive secondary for Detroit, and their defensive passer rating right now through two games is 147.8. So Lamar may not be running the ball, but he certainly could have some success through the air. Let's move to the 2-0 Arizona Cardinals. They are on the road to take on the 0-2 Jacksonville Jaguars. The Arizona offense has been electric. They escaped with a win last week when Minnesota missed a 37-yard field goal as time ran out. The Jacksonville Jaguars, they were routed in Week 1 by the Houston Texans and again in Week 2 by the Denver Broncos. I made this line 6.5 in favor of the Cardinals. It opened up 7.5, and it's pretty much stayed there all week. But we've seen some movement up to 8 and even 9s, and I think that's really more of an indication of the books kind of defending themselves against the teaser.
Yeah, 100%, because this is a teaser candidate, much like the Ravens are a teaser candidate. In fact, I have the Ravens as the second leg of a teaser from Thursday night, so I need them to just come through for me, because the Panthers already, even though the Panthers covered the regular line, didn't need the teaser there, but that was the first leg. The Ravens are the second one. The Cardinals, same thing. And you're right, the line could be increasing to protect against the teaser to get it to a field goal as opposed to get it to under a field goal, which is your goal when you're utilizing a six-point teaser. Arizona should win this game. Theoretically, they should blow them out. They are the better football team. Plus, when a team nearly loses, I almost change my opinion on them. And what I mean by that is I don't think that they're any less of a team. But I know some people look at the records and they think, wow, Arizona 2-0, are they 3-0? Like, I don't think they're going to be 3-0. I'm going to bet against them to go 3-0, something like that. I look at them as a 1-1 football team. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the Minnesota Vikings. I don't treat Minnesota as an 0-2 football team.
Minnesota could likely be 2-0.
Exactly. Dalvin Cook doesn't fumble. They don't go to, you know, there's a lot of things that can happen. So I look at Arizona, and I think they're actually a bounce-back candidate, believe it or not. And some people think that that's ridiculous because they're coming off a win. What's a bounce-back when you're coming off a win? I grade that game as a loss. So this is a bounce-back game for the Arizona Cardinals, in my opinion, to get back on the winning side after a game last week that they should have lost.
You look at some of the numbers here, and again, I don't think you can pour all your handicap into the stats with just two games under our belt. I really like to focus on the numbers more so when we get to about week 4 or 5. I think that's when you really start to see teams identify themselves and their numbers really play out the way this team is truly behaving once you get to about that 4th or 5th week. But if you look at the Cardinals just through 2 weeks, yards per play on offense, 7 yards per play. Mm-hmm. On defense, they're giving up 5.4. That's not awful, but it's not great. Third down offense, over 45%. Third down defense, 29%. This defense is getting it done on holding teams down on third down. Their defensive passer rating, not too shabby at 97.8, but you know, that defensive or the third down conversions on defense, I think, is a little bit confusing to me because we saw Arizona go up and down the field on them and score a lot of points. I don't know if Jacksonville is going to be able to do that. Their third down efficiency, 31.8, and on third down on defense, they're giving it up 43.8% of the time. Their red zone defense has been decent, giving up a touchdown just a little over half the time. But I think there are going to be spots to bet on Jacksonville during this season, but I just don't know when it's going to be, and I want to see tomorrow. Are they still in disarray? Are they still an organization that just does not look right? Is Urban Meyer still not the answer here? I'm going to wait and see on this one.
I didn't like how Urban Meyer felt the need to release a statement on social media after their week 2 loss. Like, guys, it's a 17-game NFL season. Like, we know. You don't have to. This isn't college football. You don't have to do the whole Tim Tebow speech of no one's going to play harder than us. Like, we understand. These are professional athletes. I'm worried about Jacksonville's secondary. Through 2 games, they only have 5 passes defense, no interceptions. I think Kyler Murray and this offense is going to have a field day against this secondary. As long as Kyler has time to throw, which he likely will, and even if he doesn't, you know his improvisation, the way that he improvises is just so incredible. It's like backyard football. This is going to be a dangerous game for the Jaguars because it could get out of hand early if the Cardinals put up 21 quick in the first quarter.
All right, you talk about Kyler Murray, and he's maybe one of the scariest guys in the league to bet against, because you're right, he is an absolute improvisational quarterback that can seemingly escape out of any situation. Over 281.5 yards, his passing yards total, you can go under or over 281.5, and it's -115 either way at DraftKings. You talk about the lack of defense in the secondary for Jacksonville. Would you be looking to go over 281.5 for Kyler Murray?
281.5. Look, a monster game last week, 400 yards passing. I would go over. However, I think I'd be more comfortable doing passing plus rushing yards. On Kyler Murray, because I think he's going to go over his rushing yard prop in this one rather easily. So there's always designed runs for him. Plus, when the play breaks down, he takes off, and I can see him having a very good day running the football. I like him to score a rushing touchdown in this one as well. So I think passing plus rushing yards could be the way to go, but I'm confident he goes over this total. The only thing that would worry me is if he has 250 and the game is well at hand,
right,
what happens in the fourth quarter?
Well, that was my next question. What about Trevor Lawrence, over or under 250.5 passing yards? Is he going to have to be playing catch-up late and slinging that ball all over the yard?
Yeah, he will. It's just a matter of if he can get there. He's only completing 50% of his passes this year. He has had a very underwhelming start to his career.
I agree with you. I have not really, and it's really the entire Jaguars team.
Sure.
I think Trevor Lawrence is eventually going to show up, but anointing him the second coming of Peyton Manning, I think, is a little bit too early at this point. All right, it is the Pro Football Blitz. We'll be back with more previews of Sunday games for NFL Week 3. Just getting started here from the Circa Resort and Casino. Scott Seidenberg filling in for James Salinas. I am Brady Cannon, and this is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Pro Football Blitz with Brady Cannon and James Salinas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into the Pro Football Blitz. Brady Cannon and Scott Seidenberg with you, previewing the Week 3 card for the NFL and another marquee matchup on the early slate, Scott. The Los Angeles Chargers visiting the Kansas City Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium, an AFC West division tilt. Both teams are coming off of a loss here, and we saw Justin Herbert go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes when Herbert was a rookie in 2020. Kansas City will visit Philadelphia next week. The Chargers will host the Las Vegas Raiders on Monday Night Football down in Los Angeles. I made this the Chiefs as a 3.5-point favorite, and I might have been a little bit light, but 7 still seems a little aggressive to me to give this Chargers team, even though they do have some question marks as far as injury across that defensive line.
Can I tell you how happy I am to see this line at 7?
Yeah.
Because I've been on it all week at 6.5. I did it in the Circa contest at 6.5. To see it at 7 now makes me so happy, because now I'm going to just dump my money into the plus 7. I think the Chargers are a live underdog here. I think they can win this one outright. They have the offense to go toe-to-toe with the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs' defense really concerns me. And yes, I know there are concerns.
They were exposed, weren't they?
Yes, 100%. And I know that there's concerns with the health of Joey Bosa and other players on that Charger defense, but to me, this is not a defensive game. This is a game that's going to come down to the offenses. I love what Herbert has done so far this season. They should have beat the Dallas Cowboys last week. They had a touchdown called back due to a bogus penalty and then a ridiculous sack call that Herbert was throwing the ball away, but they called him in the grasp. Turns a third and goal into a third and goal from the 22-yard line. They settle for a field goal to tie the game as opposed to the touchdown to take the lead. So there goes my diatribe on why the Chargers lost to the Cowboys last week.
Well, but I think you're right. I mean, those were some of the most crazy
ridiculous
calls.
Absolutely ridiculous. So this is a team that should be coming off a win against the Cowboys. They are very talented. Brandon Staley, with good reason, was one of the early nominees for Coach of the Year before the season started. They are going to play hard against this Kansas City Chiefs team. They will score on this defense, and we cannot ignore the numbers. The Chiefs have failed to cover the spread in 12 of their last 13 games. You can't ignore that. They're 1-11-1 against the number in their last 13. That's just absurd, but yet the books still make them a touchdown favorite.
Well, you know, the public loves to bet on the Chiefs, and they are doing it again here this week. And you mentioned it. It's been well documented. 1-11-1 in their last 13 games against the spread are the Kansas City Chiefs. They were 0-3 against the spread in home division games in 2020. The Los Angeles Chargers, in their last 10 division road games, are 8-2 against the spread. But we have to ask ourselves, you know, we see all these trends. Why is it happening? And I think the answer for the Kansas City Chiefs is the books, because they know they're going to get that public attention on the Kansas City Chiefs, they have to inflate that line. But sure, it seems like, I mean, it's been 13 games now. Have they adjusted yet?
They obviously haven't, because this line should be less than a touchdown.
I made it 3.5.
And
right?
I agree with you. I think that's if you're comparing both of these teams, that is the more accurate line, is to have that at 3.5, because honestly, like, if this game was played in L.A., what would you make the spread? It would probably be the Chiefs favored, but not by much. It might be, you know, a 1.5 kind of type of thing that we're seeing, you know, that we're seeing in the Rams game against the Buccaneers. But I just think that 7, to see it at a touchdown, is a gift to any bettor out there, because now you have the push protection with the Chargers. And I think sprinkling a little bit on the money line at plus 270 is nice. If you want to put it in a little money line parlay with another underdog, I think you get a nice little payout there. But to me, it's Chargers or no bet. I don't think you can bet the Chiefs at all.
Well, the Chiefs are also going to be a very popular team in teasers, and sometimes that's a very scary proposition. I don't necessarily like to jump on that train when the whole world is teasing one team one way. I did not bet this game, but if I had to, I would be on the Chargers with you. Let's talk about the New Orleans Saints and the New England Patriots. This one will go down in Foxborough. New Orleans comes in off of an awful week where their assistant coaches were lost to COVID protocol, and it really showed up on the field as they were blasted by the Carolina Panthers. Now, New England, they really had a cakewalk. Zach Wilson threw 4 interceptions, and that was about all the Patriots needed. Game, set, match, and it was done. Over the summer, New Orleans was made a 1-point favorite in this game. Mm-hmm. And in my exercise where I make my own lines at the beginning of the week, I made this game a pick 'em. I was really surprised to see New England come out as a 3-point favorite.
So the Saints are dealing with obviously a lot of injuries, okay? But Marshawn Lattimore is expected to play, which gives them a huge boost to their defense. They're still likely going to be without their center, Eric McCoy, and there were some issues last week with Jameis Winston under center and taking shotgun snaps, whatever. What concerns me about the Saints, and ultimately why I played the Patriots in my contest pick, is because this is a third straight week of travel for them.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, week one was supposed to be a home
game. Well, it's not
just travel.
You know, it's the in-between, practicing in Fort Worth.
Exactly. Yeah. So they've been displaced since the start of the season due to the hurricane, practicing at TCU, going to Jacksonville for week one, going to Carolina for week two, and now going to New England for week three. They are expected to return home next week. They're expected to come back and practice. There was a fire on the roof of the dorm this week, on the roof of the dome this week at the Caesars Superdome. So they had to take care of some stadium issues. It just seems like everything's going wrong for the New Orleans Saints. But in all seriousness, this is just a bad situational spot for me. Because, I always like betting against teams that go twice consecutively on the road.
Right.
Now you're putting in 3 consecutive weeks of travel. I think that weighs a lot on a team.
Jameis Winston is 5-1 against the spread in his career when coming off of a loss of 14 points or more. And I think what that is saying is the books react.
Mm-hmm.
When he gets slaughtered in a game, the books, you know, adjust that line, maybe over-adjust, and he's able to find some success in that follow-up game. Also, Sean Payton is 48-28-1 against the spread in his career coming off of a loss. By the way, if you're looking at a scheduling situation, the New England Patriots have that guy coming to town that wears number 12 and plays for the Buccaneers. I imagine that is on their mind. It probably doesn't mean much to Mac Jones. He's new to the situation, but there's probably a lot of folks in New England, including Bill Belichick, that are well aware of what's happening next week.
Yeah, but this is a much improved Patriots roster, and I think they have the second best roster in that division. They got a lot of players back that opted out last year due to COVID, so maybe there's an out of sight, out of mind kind of attitude when it comes to some of these players on the Patriots. This is a talented team with a talented coaching staff. Bill Belichick has always designed his defensive strategy to combat the weaknesses of the opposing quarterback. We know his record against rookies, which is why the Patriots was the auto fire of the season last week against Zach Wilson and the Jets. And I think looking at Jameis Winston, the inefficiencies that we've seen from him, week one aside, because week one, I think, was more about the Packers being unprepared as opposed to the Saints looking dominant. I think week two against that defense in Carolina is more of what we're going to see from Jameis Winston against formidable opponents this year.
Also worthy of noting, the New England Patriots really dominated in week one in a loss to the Miami Dolphins, but I don't think they were all that impressive against the Jets. I mean, if you look at what the Jets' defense did...
They didn't have to be.
You're right. They handed them four turnovers, four interceptions, and then they held New England to four field goals. So, you know, I don't want to get too... I don't think that win against the Jets is reason to be too impressed with New England, even though it looked like it on the scoreboard. Maybe you take a little dive deeper into that game before you jump all over New England this week. A division game between two of the preseason favorites to win the AFC South, the 0-2 Indianapolis Colts visiting the 1-1 Tennessee Titans. And Scott, the Colts were competitive in their loss to the Rams. They did cover the number, but they had some real problems in the red zone. Now, Tennessee, they pulled off of a bit of a shocker in Seattle. They were down by 14 points in the fourth quarter. They come back to win that game in overtime. I made this line 3 in favor of Tennessee without adjusting for any quarterback other than Carson Wentz. Now, we've talked about this situation before when an underdog goes into the role of the favorite, and that's what we have here with the Tennessee Titans. They are laying 5.5 points here with a total of 47.5.
So the Colts were decimated by injuries last week, and this is not just Carson Wentz. It was obviously on the defensive side of the ball as well. Xavier Rhodes playing in this game gives them a massive boost to their defense. Carson Wentz, I'm a little concerned because he's expected to play. But dealing with these injuries, dealing with the ankles, it might just take one hit to knock him out of the game. And if he is out of the game, now you're looking at Jacob Eason. There's a reason why they elevated Brett Hundley to their active roster. Even though they expect Carson to play, they're obviously not comfortable, which is why they wanted another quarterback. So I'm really concerned about this game.
You know, I've heard reports out of Indianapolis that they are very impressed with Jacob Eason, and I am not. I never have been. Ever since he injured the knee during that MVP run season he made with the Philadelphia Eagles when they ended up winning the Super Bowl with Nick Foles, since then, I don't think Carson Wentz is that great of a quarterback, but I'm hearing Jacob Eason, they have high hopes for. So if Carson Wentz is knocked out of the game, of course, we've seen Brett Hundley play. He does have some NFL experience. I don't know how much they really lose with Jacob Eason. I think this is a very interesting game here, and I think as far as making a play, it depends certainly on the health of Carson Wentz. When we come back, we're going to play Consider It, Book It, or Drop It, a game we play week in and week out here on the Pro Football Blitz. We'll be right back at VSiN.
This is the Pro Football Blitz with Brady Cannon and James Salinas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Make this football season your best sports betting season ever. Start your free VSiN trial today to get full access to our sports betting experts, including 24/7 video streaming, daily best bet emails, betting splits with the money and ticket percentages on every game, plus full access to VSiN.com data and analysis. You get everything VSiN has to offer for only $22 per month. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the Pro Football Blitz. Brady Cannon and Scott Seidenberg here filling in for James Salinas. James Salinas, we expect to be back next week. We've put him on injured reserve, but it's time to play Consider It, Book It, or Drop It, Scott. And I'm going to read off a player's stats. You will try to guess who that player is. I will reveal the mystery player, and then we will consider it, book it, or drop it as far as making a bet on this player to win Defensive Player of the Year in the NFL. All right, so we will start here. After 2 weeks, this player has forced 2 fumbles, sacked the quarterback 5 times. He has 6 tackles, and 4 of those tackles are for a loss. He finished in the top 3 voting in this award in multiple years in 2017 and 2019. On May the 14th, his odds were 40-1 to win Defensive Player of the Year. He is currently 10-1. Who is this mystery player?
So it's not TJ Watt. That would be, I mean,
Chandler Jones.
Yeah.
Chandler Jones. How about that?
He had a
drop
monster week one.
He sure did, and he dropped to 10-1. to win Defensive Player of the Year, and obviously off to a good start. But yeah, he really padded the stats in week one, and that win over the Tennessee Titans. Arizona looked flawless in that week one victory.
What,
in Nashville.
Five sacks in that game?
Yeah, five sacks. Five sacks. So consider it at 10 to 1.
Listen, Taylor Lewan is a guy who has, he has a podcast, a video show. Seems to me, looking at that game against Chandler Jones, he spent more time worrying about his podcast guests than he did going up against defenders in the offseason.
So are we going to consider it, book it, or drop it at 10 to 1?
I like it. I like it. I still would be on, like, TJ Watt was my pick before the season. Right. His health obviously is a concern if he doesn't go this weekend, if he misses some time. 10 to 1 is still good enough odds. When I look at a future, I look for anything at 10 to 1 or above. So okay. I think 10 to 1 is still a good proposition for a guy who is already off to a really good start. Now, it's 17 games, not 16, so it does change things a little bit. But yeah, 10 to 1, I think there's good value still on a guy who leads the league in sacks right now.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would consider it. I'm not going to book it or drop it just yet. All right, we'll move to the next one here. After 2 weeks, this player has one interception, one forced fumble, and seven tackles. Last year, he led the NFL in interceptions with 10. On May 14th, his odds were 40 to 1 to win Defensive Player of the Year. It has not adjusted much. It is now 35 to 1. Who's this guy?
Tyrann Mathieu?
No.
Okay.
Kind of a lesser-known quarterback, I think, or cornerback, I should say. Xavien Howard of the Miami Dolphins.
Not lesser-known. I mean, the guy was almost going to be traded because of his contract. So,
well, you don't hear as much about him because he doesn't give up any touchdowns, right? And people never throw his way. You don't him too often on TV. But
yeah,
no,
the best cornerbacks don't usually have the interception numbers because they don't get thrown at it a lot. You know.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's probably a good position where you don't want any headlines. Mm-hmm. You don't want anybody to know about you. Xavien Howard off to another good start this year. And, you know, I wonder, I mean, we've seen Aaron Donald dominate this award. We've seen J.J. Watt. It seems to me, and we talked about Chandler Jones, I think a cornerback is at a little bit of a disadvantage to win this award.
Yeah, there was a time when Darrell Revis was a legit candidate to win this award. And everyone said that, you know, he deserves it, not going to get it. And I think it's because, yes, cornerbacks are at a disadvantage. The sacks, the fumble recoveries, things like that are, and especially if you don't have the touchdowns. I can understand if you're a cornerback that has the interceptions and has the touchdowns, but if you're just the guy that is having, you know, maybe good pass defense numbers, but also numbers that you're not getting thrown at, I think that's the ultimate sign of respect and the ultimate sign of how good you are as a cornerback is the amount of time you get thrown at. And if you're being thrown at the least amount amongst cornerbacks in the NFL, it should account for something.
And I also think that the Miami Dolphins are probably going to regress this year versus what they did last year. They had a really positive season last year. You remember all the defensive turnovers they got, the special teams turnovers that they got early in the year last year, yet they didn't make the playoffs. They had all that good fortune, all that turnover to the positive side, yet they did not make the postseason, and that's usually a bad recipe going forward. And we kind of saw that play out in week one, yet they escaped with the win. We definitely saw it play out in week two where they were shut out by the Buffalo Bills 35-0. So I would actually probably drop this one, Scott, because we talk about, you know, it's tough for a cornerback to win the award, and I just don't know if Miami's going to really be that good this year.
Yeah, I wouldn't play it either. Well, simply because of him being a cornerback, I wouldn't play it.
All right, let's look at the third one here. After 2 weeks, this player has one sack, 10 tackles, and two of those are for a loss. He has won this award three times, becoming the only player since J.J. Watt and Lawrence Taylor to win it in multiple years. On May 14th, his odds were 4-1. He's now moved up to 6-1.
So Aaron Donald.
Yes, this is definitely the man for the Los Angeles Rams, Aaron Donald. So at 6-1, he's actually increased in price. He opened the season at 4-1, and that probably has a lot to do with what Chandler Jones has done in week one so far. So 6-1 on Aaron Donald, maybe that's a bargain.
I like it. And national spotlight game here coming up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Big performance, definitely going to sway some people. Those odds could change with a big performance here on Sunday.
Aaron Donald at 6-1. I know a popular preseason bet to win player or defensive player of the year was Myles Garrett of the Cleveland Browns. And I believe the highest number on him available was in the neighborhood of plus 750 or even 8-1. And certainly he's been good so far, but I don't know if he's had the performance. I mean, his odds may have gone up since then as well. Would you know if I haven't looked at, I don't have it in front of me here, but if he's at 10-1, would you maybe dive back in on him?
10-1, I would, but I still like guys more than him. Let's see, I'll pull it up right now. Defensive player of the year. Well, we had defensive rookie of the year. You want defensive player of the year. Garrett is now plus 700.
Okay, so he's about the same where he was.
Not going to stay with that. Chandler Jones, you mentioned, is 10-1. T.J. Watt, for me, plus 1,100. That's where I would go.
Now, T.J. Watt has been ruled out for their game against the Cincinnati Bengals, and of course, we'll preview that game throughout the show here, the Pro Football Blitz, before we get out of here. But, you know, I'm with you. I think the guy is absolutely incredible. And, you know, we use the term game changer. I think he literally is.
Yes.
And I think the Raiders, that's why they won that game in week two, because Watt left that game and the Raiders really found, you know, they got into a rhythm offensively in the second half and they were able to beat the Steelers. Now, the Steelers defense is good, but without him, they're a whole different ballgame.
Yeah. I mean, I think I like the Bengals this week. We'll get into that game, I'm sure, coming up. But yeah, he changes games. He causes so much havoc in the backfield. The pressure on the quarterback, the strip sacks, he always seems to get his hand on the football, which is so impressive. It's not just getting to the quarterback and taking the quarterback down. It's getting your hands on the football and causing turnovers, which he's so good at.
All right, that's going to do it for our game. Consider it, book it, or drop it. Let's get into another preview here before we get to the break, and I want to talk about a battle of 1-1 teams, the Washington football team going to Buffalo to battle the Bills. Washington is on extra rest, and the Bills are off a 35-0 shutout of the Dolphins down in Miami. This line opened at 9, and it got down to 7.5 in favor of the Buffalo Bills. 7.5 was the number over the summer, the look-ahead lines that the casinos out in Las Vegas put out. We are now at 7s across the board. Still a couple of 7.5s out there, but primarily 7s in favor of Buffalo, and the total's been bet up to 45.5.
So they won 35-0 last week. 35 points they scored. Josh Allen was 17 of 33 passing for 179 yards. Those are not numbers for a quarterback that led a team to 35 points.
Right.
Okay, that game score was a little bit deceiving than how the game script played out. He did not play well, and he has not looked well this season. They're at home, which of course gives them a boost. Laying 7 to me is a lot. And this was actually north. This was higher.
It was 9.
And I think Washington could be the right side of this game. You mentioned the extra time to rest. Chase Young, and the ability and Sweat, the ability they have to get after the quarterback. This might not be an easy game for Buffalo to get out of here. And laying 7 scares me a little bit.
Yeah, I'm with you. I made the line 6.5, and I was surprised to see it open as high as 9, and apparently some other people were too, because they jumped on it, and again, now we're down to as low as 7. I think that's probably about the threshold. We may see this get to 6.5, and maybe that's where you start to look the other way on the Buffalo Bills. I worry a little bit about the Washington football team. I don't think their defense has performed anywhere near what we saw out of them last year, And last year, they really didn't play against any good quarterbacks. Well, this is a pretty good team and a pretty good quarterback. We'll see how that defense holds up. But if I could get 7 and a hook, I'm with you. I'd be on the Washington football team in this one. We'll come back, preview some more games for week 3 in the NFL on the Pro Football Blitz.
This is the Pro Football Blitz with Brady Cannon and James Salinas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit vsin.com to check the current betting splits data. This new feature gives you insights on where the money and the bets are moving for every game. You'll be able to see where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. Data is available for money line totals and against the spread bets. Betting splits are another way that vsin is here to make you a smarter better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at vsin.com. Brady Cannon and Scott Seidenberg back with you inside the Pro Football Blitz, going over the Week 3 schedule in the NFL. And I want to get to a big game here that I know you're interested in, Scott.
Oh, yeah.
The New York Football Giants hosting the Atlanta Falcons. Wow. A battle of 0-2 teams, and neither team has looked good so far. Atlanta was competitive for a bit against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but then Matt Ryan threw a couple of pick sixes, and that sealed it for Tampa Bay. Daniel Jones, I thought he looked better against the Washington football team, but that defense for the New York Giants, that was really supposed to be their strength this year. And as far as a defensive passer rating through 2 weeks of the season, currently 106.8. Of course, they gave up a lot of points in that loss to the Washington football team. The Giants have been 3-point favorites for most of the week in this game. They have dropped to 2.5-point favorites in many spots, and really that is starting to become the consensus line in this game. A, Scott, are you going to watch this game? B, are you going to bet this game?
I'm not going to bet this game. I probably won't watch it much. It'll be on, and I'll glance at it. If I had to bet this game, there's only one way I'm betting it, and it's the Atlanta Falcons. Now, I have spent the large part of my career talking New York sports. Knowing the Giants as well as I do, this would be the game that they lose. This is the type of game that the Giants lose, and everyone starts to question whether Daniel Jones was the right decision to be the starting quarterback, whether Saquon Barkley was the right decision with the second overall pick, whether Joe Judge was the right decision to be the head coach. We all know the general manager, Dave Gettleman, is going to find his way out of town as well. So this could be a game that pushes further along the idea that there's going to be massive turnover with the New York Giants, because, you know, Saquon's not going to be there after this contract runs, his rookie contract runs out anyway. This is a Giants team that has looked better on film than the Atlanta Falcons, granted, but defensively, you mentioned the numbers. They're giving up well over 400 yards per game. This is a defensive unit that was supposed to be, you said, the leader of this team. They are not playing up to their standards. Offensively, the line is putrid. They drafted Andrew Thomas, who is a complete turnstile. and it's really a shame because, you know, Dave Gettleman, the general manager, had his pick of every offensive lineman on the board, and he took Andrew Thomas first. So he's going to kind of, you know, live and die by his sword here. And it has not worked out so far. To me, this is a Giants team that is going absolutely nowhere. This could be the only game this season that they're actually a favorite in. If you go through the remainder of their schedule, this could be the only game that they are a favorite in, and it would not shock me one bit to see the Falcons kind of get back to form offensively and win this game.
Yeah, no, I think I'm with you 100%, but I don't have the guts to bet on the Falcons.
Oh,
either.
I wouldn't touch it. This game is just, you know, make sure that the bar doesn't have it on one of the TVs because they're just wasting pixels.
It kind of feels like I would bet the Falcons plus 3, but I'd like the Giants at minus 2.5.
That's fair. That's fair because the
it's a toss-up.
Number, it is. This is a complete. The line is telling you that it's a complete toss-up game. The Giants are getting 3 for being home. If this game's in Atlanta, Atlanta's a field goal favorite. So that's exactly what the line is telling you. If I had to play one way or the other, it would be the Falcons. I like the over in this game, because I think both offenses will have their way with the opposing team's defense.
If you look at some of the numbers, again, you take these with a grain of salt because it's only through two games, but the Giants on offense, 5.7 yards per play to the Falcons at 4.6. On defense, they're both giving up over 6 yards per play. So there's to your over there. Third down offense for the Giants, not too bad at over almost 42%. Third down defense, pretty good for both of these teams, right around 40%. But the defensive passer rating really through the roof, 106.8 for the Giants, 131.2 for the Falcons. And red zone offense has been a problem for Atlanta. And you know, I think they were trying to solve that problem by drafting Kyle Pitts.
Sure.
I don't think he has a touchdown yet, does he?
No, he hasn't lived up to the draft status yet. There was a lot of people that were pushing him right away to be the offensive rookie of the year. because of how dynamic he was at Florida. But I think losing Julio Jones has done a lot to this offense. You know, they said, okay, we don't need him because we have Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts. Well, maybe you did need that veteran presence. Maybe you did need that additional target, even though Julio was not the biggest red zone target, but that could also be because teams actually double team him when it comes down to the red zone. So yeah, he didn't have the touchdown numbers or the red zone targets, but that could be because of the way the defense is game planned for him. So that's why other guys are catching touchdowns instead of him. Without him, they're able to key on guys like Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts, and that's why you're seeing the Falcons struggle so far.
And maybe the Arthur Smith project as a head coach is not working either. I mean, this guy was doing a pretty darn good job with the Tennessee Titans calling plays, but I don't know if that means you can be a CEO and run an organization. And that's what he's being asked to do here. And so far, not going swimmingly for Arthur Smith and the Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, probably the least watchable game and maybe even least bettable game on my list for week three in the NFL. Let's move to an AFC North matchup in Pittsburgh, where the Steelers will host the Cincinnati Bengals. Both teams at 1-1, and both teams are coming off of a loss. Wide receiver Deontay Johnson is out for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and along with defensive standout TJ Watt, as he continues to nurse a bad groin. The line has really dropped towards Cincinnati throughout the week. Pittsburgh opened up in the neighborhood of a 4 or 4.5 point favorite. We haven't seen any further drop off with the news that TJ Watt will not play in this game. It's still Pittsburgh favored by 3, 43 for your total.
I kind of leaned the Bengals here, and full disclosure, I had the Bengals last week at +3, and I got it early in the
Good
week
push.
When the line was released. And it was a backdoor push because I got lucky to push that game. I understand that. Joe Burrow threw 3 interceptions in that game on 3 consecutive passes that were bad, ill-advised, whatever adjective you want to put on it. It was just terrible. I don't see him doing that again. He'll be better in this game. The Bengals offense will be better in this game because no TJ Watt for the Pittsburgh Steelers, which is huge for their defense.
Deontay Johnson being out is pretty big for their offense, too.
Well, I was about to say, the part of the Steelers team that concerns me the most is their offense.
Yeah.
Because they've looked terrible. You know, everyone's talking about Matt Canada's play calling and his formation designs. Through 2 weeks already, Ben Roethlisberger is now having to tell the media how frustrated he is with the offense, with the formations. But there was a quote that he said something like, we have all these great players, and they're not on the field. Because they're not running the traditional 5 wide sets or 4 wide sets. It's a lot of motion, so it's trying to catch teams off guard. It's just a different offense that I don't think suits the Steelers, nor their offensive weapons. So I think that there's going to be an adjustment period for the Steelers, that it's going to take some time to get everybody comfortable in this offensive system, but they have not looked good so far offensively. They're just around 300 yards per game. And Ben is not throwing the ball downfield. He's been banged up with the pectoral injury. He said he's been dealing with pain when he throws the football. I don't know how many chances he's going to take down the field in this game. This could be an ugly, low-scoring, close football game.
Yeah, maybe the under is the way to look in this ball game. And, you know, one thing about the Cincinnati Bengals, I think they've been pretty impressive defensively this year.
Sure.
They have improved on that side of the ball for sure. We'll see if they can keep Joe Burrow upright. I think it's going to be a big deal. We've talked about TJ Watt and his ability to disrupt a game. We'll see if Burrow is able to take advantage of Watt not being in that lineup. You talk about Ben Roethlisberger, the pectoral issue, not being able to throw the ball down the field. Deontay Johnson out for that offense. We know the offensive line is struggling. Najee Harris has been good, but I think it's tough sledding when you don't have the blockers up front for a guy that really looks the part of a number one draft choice. He's got a ton of talent, but what I'm getting at here is Ben Roethlisberger, his passing yards total, 258.5. You under or over on that
one? I'm going under because they haven't shown me that they're going to attack down the field. Their offensive line isn't giving Ben enough time to let the receivers get deep down the field. So that's why you're seeing the limited deep shots. So you add that in with, yes, no Deontay Johnson, even though Chase Claypool is a fantastic
Love
deep
that
threat.
Guy.
Yeah, and I'm over on his receiving yards. I'm actually upset with the Steelers. That's not that offense, but that's a whole other story. But I just think that with the offensive line being poor, with Ben dealing with the pectoral, he's not going to throw the ball deep down the field. So I'd go under on his passing total.
I'm not going to bet this game. I have not bet this game. I think there's too many question marks. I certainly don't want to be a Steeler backer without T.J. Watt in the lineup. What worries me about betting the Bengals here, though, is, you know, we've lost the best of the number. There's that historical dominance. The Pittsburgh Steelers always take care of business against Cincinnati, and I could see it happening again.
Situational spots versus historic spots versus your gut feel.
All the things we have to balance trying to handicap a game. This ain't easy, folks. I tell you what, hour number one was pretty easy. Good stuff so far with my man Scott Seidenberg. We'll be back for hour number two when Derek Stevens and Jeff Benson of Circa Sports join us right here on the Pro Football Blitz.
Football season is here, and we have new talent shows to help you make the most of your fall betting action. The VSiN lineup now has 21 hours of live programming every weekday, as well as additional shows on the weekend, so you have the latest odds to stay on top of the in-game betting opportunities for every key game across the country. We aim 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 across the country.